Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Thank you for spending this time with us. I like to begin the show with a little sweet tea for the soul. And our devotional scripture is, "For God gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding," Proverbs 2:6. And that's a great promise for anyone who is trying to study and understand. It's just a great promise. I know I claimed it many times. When someone says, "We done plowed that furrow clean down to the bedrock, time to rest the mule," it means the matter has already been discussed way too much and it's time to move on. There are times in life when each of us must face major decisions, and people react to that burden in different ways. Some are good at snap decisions and sometimes not so good. K-Sierra is their mentality. These folks are okay with whatever comes of their ill-thought-out and usually foolhardy plans, and they often get into trouble. Others like to mull things over, cogitate, ponder, deliberate, ruminate, dwell on, and talk about what to do over and over again until it makes your head hurt just listening to them talk. They refuse to act on a matter until they've planned and plotted out every scenario and result of the decision they fear to make. The word fear is important because the refusal to act is based in fear. Faith check. What does the Bible say about decisions? James 1:5 states that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Asking God to give us wisdom in making decisions takes the pressure off us. When we invite God to be part of the decision-making process of our everyday lives, every decision, small or large, is made in partnership and reliance on God the Father. And today, our little saying is on a denim-backed cloth. And the saying says, "Don't make decisions when you're angry, and don't make promises when you're happy." I have to think about that. It's time for our prayer request and our prayers and praises. And you know, we have so much to be thankful for, and yet I know as a nation we're really fearful. And I think our devotion, when it talks about fear, it's talking about fear in general. And I think our nation right now is there. So we will pray for that. Bow your heads with me if you can. If not, just go with in your mind. The Lord hears our prayers in every situation. Dear Heavenly Father, we hold up to you today, Darlington, and they want God to forgive them of their sins. They want to follow Jesus forever and amen. And I just praise you, Lord, because I know that that is a prayer you always answer. And we're going to pray for Haley, who needs safety for her and her family. She's a nurse, and she's coming into contact daily with COVID-19 patients. She has two babies, and she's so scared of bringing it home to her family. So please protect that family. I know, Lord, that you take everything into stride and that you see the whole picture. We just see a pixel. I thank you, Lord, because you are there for us. We're praying for Peggy. She says that both her and her husband work in the prison system in New York, and they are coming in contact with the virus all the time. Please protect them. And we pray for Chris, whose wife is in the hospital with acute pancreatitis. Please, please be with that family. Lord, you know our unspoken prayer requests. You know the needs of each one of us. And just give us the peace that passes understanding and the knowledge that you really do love us, that you love me, and that you love each person within hearing of my voice, and much more than that. And may our minds be connected with your mind towards our fellow humankind. All this I pray, Lord, in my holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. And we are integrating our arts and crafts with our science and even a little math. And today we're going to continue our conversation about air pressure, the study of air pressure. And an interesting thing to show students how heat affects the gas we call air is to take two water bottles and fill one water bottle with ice water and one water bottle with hot water. It's very simple, but it's pretty dramatic. And you just, you know, let that ice water really chill that bottle and let the hot water really heat the bottle. Dump it out quickly, then dump out the liquid quickly, put the cap back on and put both of them in the refrigerator. And then come back in about 5 minutes and see how just having heated air in one bottle, how that bottle reacts to the cold air as opposed to the cold air in the cold bottle. So that's our little arts and crafts idea today. Our curriculum corner today is going to be the discussion of what a fourth grader needs to know going into fifth grade. And this is just the bare benchmarks that I would like to see as a teacher of fifth graders if my fourth graders came into me with an understanding of multiplication, if they understood simple division and could understand the place value, so how to regroup, and story problems, if they could see how wonderful it is to do a story problem, because that's where we apply the real life math problems to everyday experiences. So that's what I would like to see. And as you're working with your child, make sure those things are in place. If nothing else, focus on the multiplication tables and just learn that. Questions parents ask. So a question came in. There is a mother who has a 5.5-year-old, and he told his dad, this is how it went. So he told his mom that his dad had given him eggs for breakfast yesterday, and he did that because he wanted a bagel this morning. And they have a rule that we don't do bagels twice in a row because they have no protein. But when she checked with her husband, indeed, her husband had given the little boy a bagel yesterday. So she confronted her son and asked him, why did you say that you had eggs when you actually had a bagel? And he said, because I wanted you to think I had protein. So the mom wants to know what kind of penalty. You know, this sounds very frivolous, maybe to adults, but we do. These little opportunities give us an opportunity to teach great moral lessons to our children. And I would certainly applaud him because he told his mom why he said the lie. He had a good reason and he confessed, so to speak. So what type of consequence? You know, the more we can focus on redemptive discipline and less punitive discipline, the better. So I don't know if I would give a consequence. Depending on the child, some children are so remorseful when they know they've done something wrong. And this child sounds like he was quite remorseful. So why would we have to punish him? He is seeing the error of his ways, so to speak. A lot of times I'll ask a child in this situation, what did you do that you're going to do differently in the future? And ask them to explain what they, in their own words, what they did wrong, what they're going to do right in the future. And then if I can see they're still having a lot of angst over it, I'll say, do you want to give yourself a consequence? And often they will give themselves a consequence that's more severe than I would have given them. But at least it's not, I'm not punishing them. They're paying restitution maybe by doing an extra chore for me, or giving me some of their classroom money, or going out and pulling weeds for me in the playground, that kind of thing, a redemptive way so that the child is not shamed. They don't feel like you're inflicting punishment on them, which gives them such a poor view of God. Anyway, that's my opinion, and that's my advice for whatever it's worth. So you're going to want to stay here for the second half of the show. We're going to talk to Patty Garibay about her American Heritage Girls project. She's been involved for 25 years. And also about topics like body image, anxiety, screen addiction, modesty, bullying. We're going to cover all that, so come right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
This is Raising Godly Girls with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
Miley Cyrus's Hannah Montana days are long over. The former Disney Channel megastar rejected her once public faith in Christ years ago. Today, she's carved a new image built around explicit appearance and racy lyrics. As parents, it's easy to get stuck here, to just mandate our daughters to dress and act with modesty. But modesty isn't just what you wear. Modesty, as Paul instructs in 1 Timothy, is a heart issue. Helping our girls understand God wants them to be modest creates a sense of belonging to the King, not constantly wanting to draw attention for the wrong reasons. Share examples of women who are beautiful and dress modestly. Teach them to focus on what really matters, the unique person God created each of them to be.
To learn more about raising godly girls, visit AmericanHeritageGirls.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm here with Patty Garibay, and we're talking about the passion of her life. She's the founder and executive director of American Heritage Girls, which is a national Christ-centered leadership and character development program. She's helped thousands of girls discover their true identity and their purpose in Christ through the American Heritage Girls program. similar to Girl Scouts, but faith-based. She has been highly influential in sharing the gospel with her troop in Westchester, Ohio. And in response to the major changes in the Girl Scouts, her life was changed. She heard of the voice of God call her to start something new. And that's what we're talking about today. Welcome to the show, Patty.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So I don't want to give it all away. I want you to tell us in your words how that call from God worked out to start American Heritage Girls.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes the calls from God are really not something we want to do, but it's something we have to do. And I was in that kind of a position as a mom of four kids, three of which were my daughters. And I had been involved in the Girl Scouts USA for 13 years, leading three different troops and really dedicating my life and my mission to the Girl Scouts. And in 1993, when the Girl Scouts USA decided to change the Girl Scout promise to no longer mandate an oath to God, actually putting an asterisk by the Lord's name, I became very concerned. How can a character development program be based on anything but a spiritual belief and a spiritual belief in God, particularly for me as a Christian? And so when this change came, I started to uncover more and more items of interest in the Girl Scouts regarding their agenda, including moral relativism, sexual education that was all information-based, the promotion of the gay and lesbian lifestyle. And so there were so many things that were contributing to that decision to remove God from the Girl Scout promise. So I heard about this on the evening news, and my husband did one of those little nudges and said, "What are you going to do about this?" And I said, "Well, I will just keep my troop, and we will still have a firm oath to God." And he said, "No, really, what are you going to do about it?" Right? So I started to ask the Lord, what would you want me to do? And so first we did do a campaign of awareness in our community of Cincinnati, Ohio, hoping that the Girl Scouts would understand the errors of their ways and perhaps change their story and come back to their foundation, which was Judeo-Christian values. And the foundress, Juliet Gordon Lowe, had read the Bible daily. That's what she was, and that's who she was. But the snowball had been going down that hill far too quickly and too long that there was no change going to happen. And so it is with the inspiration of my father, a disabled man, that said, "Why curse the darkness when you can light a candle, start something new?" So my heavenly father and my earthly father sort of came together to say, "This is what you need to do."
So did that original troop that you had, did they come with you?
That is what's really shocking. You know, isn't it so important, the spiritual leaders and mentors that we allow in our girls' lives?
Yes.
Well, these parents, there were 26 of them, 25 of those girls came with me to this unknown entity that they had never heard of, leaving the century-old Girl Scouts to be part of American Heritage Girls. And that's how we got started. I did lose one.
Well, that still is a testament to the faith that your parents had in God. And the faith that they had that you were doing what God wanted you to do. So from that beginning, 25 years, now your girls are raised. And so now, what does it look like?
Well, it looks very different than those beginning days. What a work the Lord has done. You know, from an all-volunteer organization for the first 5 years to getting paid $1 by our board of trustees to now seeing a staff of about 50 staff members and reaching and touching girls all over the globe, tens of thousands of girls, over 52,000 this year, but also throughout the years. It's just amazing to be part of a girl's life and to help her with her formation and also to help her understand who God is and that God has a will for their life, and this is how you can discover it.
And with that, probably you have badges and other things that have to be manufactured. And so how do you do that?
Well, that was overwhelming to even think about at the beginning, right? Like, how would we have badges? And we have to have a camp. How are we going to do camping? Well, you know, those things are baby steps, right? And the Lord had provided those resources. First of all, the badges were started on a mama's embroidery machine that happened to have one, right? And then they started to progress. And as we grew, manufacturers were interested in providing those for us. Our very first vests, which were our uniforms, were first made by the girls. And our first badge was sewing because they had to sew their own vests. And now today, not only are they manufactured, but the label with our logo is in the back, and tens of thousands of those are produced every year. So God is so faithful if we just say yes.
He is, and I just get chills thinking about how he has helped you. I want my listeners to be able to learn more, so tell me about your website.
Absolutely. It's AmericanHeritageGirls.org. You can get to it a variety of ways, you know, just typing that in, .com, .net. We own all those URLs. Or you could call us at our home office if that's what's preferred, which is area code 513-771-2025.
I'm sure that there are parents of girls in Girl Scouts that don't even realize there is a faith-based option.
This is true.
So when they go there, are they able to join a does it show what troops might be in the area, or can they create their own troop?
All of the above. The one sure way to get your daughter involved is to start a troop, a ministry in your own church. Mm-hmm. Almost every church wants to reach young families. American Heritage Girls is a great way to accomplish that goal, and also to reach the younger generation with true discipleship, because this program is not just a Sunday school on the Sunday shelf. It is a lifelong learning, experiential learning, where Christ-centered mentors are leading the girls as well as their families. So it's a family-based organization. There's another way that you can do is find a troop. We have a big red icon right on that website where you pop in your zip code and you can see the local troops in your area. Many are full. Many girls are on waiting lists, but there are many that still have opportunities. So I would encourage your listeners to please check out our website and find out more.
So say that website one more time.
AmericanHeritageGirls.org.
That is easy to remember, and I'll be sure and put it on my website too. So as your own girls grew up, are they involved at all in this, or how do they support you? I mean,
absolutely. My as you can imagine, this ministry has had to involve my entire family, right?
I mean,
who would do this, you know, and without support? So my husband has been integral to the success of American Heritage Girls. He's been such an amazing support, a member of our board, and he just has a business sense that I did not have to help us figure out the financial model for this, because that's an important piece to keep floating. And also my children, I mean, even my son, who's now a computer engineer, he created our first database as a teenager. So everyone has contributed to some degree. And currently, I'm excited to say that my granddaughter is in American Heritage Girls, and I've got two more that I'm sure will be part of it. So it's exciting to see that. A matter of fact, she's featured on the front of my new book, Why Curse a Darkness When You Can Light a Candle? And it's such an honor to have her on that front cover with me.
Yes. Well, we have to conclude the show. I thank you so much for being with us. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.